I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Danilo's free, and he goes to get one.
First time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do! Taylor won, he scores! And the sticky ground goes ballistic!
Hello and welcome to this edition of Red Side of the Trent, here to go through the heartbreak 1-0 defeat to Liverpool in the dying embers of the game with much controversy and upsetting feelings, as you want to call it, to get their teeth into things are Reece Lane, Christian Brown, myself, Adam Wicklow, no Lee Clark, unfortunately, this morning. Guys, we're going to try and have a balanced view, but I doubt that will actually happen because I already know that Christian's head is still burning rage at Paul Tierney. Reece probably a little bit more balanced and can offer something a bit more calm. Maybe, we'll see. But let's get right into it, Christian. Some team news first. There was four changes to the game from the game against Aston Villa where we lost 4-2. Amabamadile, Yates, Origi and Harry Toffolo came in for Felipe, Niakate, Wunyi and Danilo. What did you think of those changes? Were they good? Surprising? And also noting that Ibrahim Sangare returned to the bench as well.
Yeah, it was a boost to have Sangare back. like me and Reece were saying before the game, to be fair, like, that we probably would have started Origi and given Taiwo, just because of how the United game went, how he looked, like he was blowing come the end of it. Excuse me. And
I think Christian's voice is still dying from the rage.
Yeah, that's also partially true. Partially a bit of Weetabix as well. But I thought Origi starting was sensible. The only thing I didn't like about that was that as effective as he can be from the right wing, it means Alanga plays up front. And I feel that we lose a lot of Alanga's qualities from up front. In fact, as a result, I'd say he was the only one yesterday, I'd say, that probably performed less than a 7 out of 10. Just because I just felt that he was the weakest player. We'll probably come on to that later at some point. I don't feel he's suited to being a striker. I feel he doesn't have the required composure to play as a centre-forwards. I get that in terms of stretching the lines and stuff like that, it can be useful. And as we saw with one of the big chances in the first half, that worked to great effect. But I much prefer him being down the right wing and being in those positions. And it makes no sense. I mean, Origi can play as a striker anyway. So I found that a little odd. But otherwise, I was fairly content. Obviously, bringing Andy O back next to Murillo, it's a very quick pairing. I mean, they both played very well against Arsenal as well, which probably gave Nuno quite a lot of optimism that they can handle it against the elite clubs. Toffolo coming back at left back again, good. You know, what's it? Round pegs and round holes. And yeah, it was Yates and Dominguez, wasn't it, in midfield? Which, a little apprehensive at first, but thankfully dispelled.
Yeah. First half, Reece kind of was a bit tetchy, to say the least. I think Liverpool had a half chance, which was blocked by Murillo. And then Alanga had an unbelievable chance, though. I think on a second look, VAR might have ruled that out. Well, how did you see the first half from your perspective?
I mean, the Elanga chance from Upper Bridgeford, where my season ticket is, I thought he was offside personally. But you've got to stick that in the back of the net. That's the fundamentals of it all. And then, you know, the VAR makes the decision. I know the assistant kept his flag down because he'd got away from Van Dijk. Probably the only time I got away from him yesterday. You just stick that in the back of the net, don't you? It's it wasn't the best finish. And then the first half, yeah. To plan, really. I didn't think Liverpool causes any major problems. You know, the game was, I'd say, very workmanlike throughout, really. We gave us all and we pretty much limited Liverpool to not much at all. So I was pretty pleased with how it had gone first half yesterday, aside from, you know, the Elanga chance. If it had been onside, you know, it would have given us something to hold on to, really.
Yeah, I mean, Christian, go back to yourself. Second half, there was plenty of incidents and things to go through. Matt Sells hasn't had to make too many saves for Forest so far in his short-lived career. But Robertson had an absolute glorious opportunity through an error that Nico Dominguez made. And a combination of Sells and Amabah Madiele come to the rescue. I think, as that ball drops to Andy Robertson, you probably think this is 1-0 and it's probably game over, because to get back in against this Liverpool side, who are defensively probably one of the best sides in the league, you're probably thinking it's going to be tough to break them down, don't you think?
Yeah, at that point, I was very grateful for Andy's leg to sort of poke it away. It was an awful pass from Dominguez. I don't know what he was doing. It was one of those ways, it's, like you said, as soon as it fell to him, I was like, oh, that's in. Like, because obviously where I was sat yesterday, I was actually on Reece's row, funny enough. I'm normally quite higher up at Upper Bridgeford, but on the same row, so it's a little further along. And so I was like literally like it pretty much in line with the corner flag, and it just looked like as soon as he came to it, was like, that's going bottom corner. And even after he hit it, even after the deflection, I was like, that's still going bottom corner. But thankfully it went out for a corner. That was quite a fright. And it was, again, like, it's just annoying. Like, this is what we keep saying about Forest. It's whenever teams get chances, it's from errors of our own making. And I thought Liverpool had two shots on target yesterday. You know, one of those was from a set piece, and one of those shouldn't have stood or been allowed to happen. So, well, we'll come on to that in due course. But generally speaking, that means for the other 96, 7 minutes of play, we've actually limited them massively from open play. So we're doing all the hard work. We just, again, it's just individual silly errors. I don't know what Dominguez is trying to do that. Just hook it away, smash it out for a throw-in. Why are you, like, it's just suicide playing a ball like that blind across your own box. It's just ridiculous. So, but thankfully, obviously, we didn't ruin it, but we really should have done. Really should have done. It was, and to be honest, we were saying as well, and I don't know if we'll come on to this or not, but like, we've had, what, 8 different centre-back pairings this season across both managers. And we still haven't found the settled partner for Morello. I'd be tempted to just give it to Morello and just let him go. I think we've seen enough now over the games he's played that he's worthy of getting a run. Like, obviously, they're both young. That's the only issue. They're both only 21, 22, aren't they? So they're likely to have experienced moments. But I've seen enough from them that they're going to be solid enough. They're quick enough to deal with the Premier League. They're good with their feet. Like, they're good in the air, more importantly. They headed everything clear yesterday, pretty much, apart from that one last final bit. So, I'm attempting to stick with that from the foreseeable, to be honest.
There was something I was actually going to ask you at the top of the show when I said to you about Andy O coming back in. Do you think that is our best partnership? And I think from what you've just said, you probably say yes, I guess.
I mean, he's the one that looks most settled. Like, I mean, obviously, Polly's been in and out of the team. He's been, obviously, not for his own fault, obviously, going to AFCON and stuff like that. Niakate, I don't like the idea of having two left-footed players in the same team. Like, it works sometimes, but other times, like Reece has mentioned before as well, I think it was a Brighton game especially, it just looked like every time it came to him on his right foot, it was just smacking it out of play, like he's hastily getting away. So I quite like the left-right balance. And I think that, you know, if we are to be a sustainable Premier League club for the future, that should be a backline for a couple of years at least. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult with Morello, but I do think that's I'd be very happy if that was our partnership going forwards. Obviously, you have to accept they're likely to make mistakes because of their age, but I think for the betterment and development of the football club, I think it's best to have those two in they're clearly up to it. And yeah, go for it. Clearly benefit us as a football club.
Yeah. Just going to address the comments. Lots of angry people about Bortoni this morning, but good morning. 24 people have joined us on a Sunday morning at just after 9 o'clock. So thank you very much. Reese, we're going to get back onto Anthony Elanga, obviously, because he had the most glorious opportunity of the game for us in the first half and in the second, which come from a really, really good move, actually, down the left-hand side. And then he's got to hit the target for me.
Yeah, very similar move to the one that he actually scored from at West Ham. Literally, you know, Toffolo's put it into a good area where you're literally coming onto the ball to sweep it into the corner. Yeah, he should score. He's got to at least hit the target. And he's unlucky in the sense that the position he has put it, you know, if that is in the corner, I mean, Kelleher don't move, he doesn't move, and it's 1-0. And to be honest, you know, if we'd have got ahead yesterday, I generally think we would have won the game. I really do, because I thought Liverpool were pretty poor, to be honest. I know they've got players injured. We've all got players injured. But like Christian and you said, I thought we limited them pretty much to not much at all. You know, the Robertson one. And then, you know, obviously you've got the goal. But I mean, even the incredible save what Sells made near the end was come off Murillo. So, yeah, it was... we just overplayed at times in that final third. There were so many times when, you know, we didn't release it quick enough or we overplayed rather than getting a shot off so many times. And, you know, we didn't test Kelleher enough. That was the disappointing thing because we got into some really good areas yesterday.
Yeah, I think earlier Hudson-Odoi put a shot in it. And unfortunately, I understood what his idea was. He just didn't get quite enough power behind it to go near post. He's like, looks like he's opening to go to that far one and gone near, and Keller has read it really well, but just no power. But there's so many opportunities on the edge of the box where, like you say, we're overplaying it.
Just bobbling about and you've got
couldn't gather the ball, could we?
You know, like there's a couple for what Morgan gives White. I'd like Morgan to pull the trigger a bit more. Pull the trigger from the edge of the box because he's capable. He showed that against Man United. And the only annoying thing from a sense for me was that Virgil van Dijk was incredible yesterday, I thought. His positioning every single time was in the right position when needed for them. And I mean, he was just looking at his other rest of his defenders and like, I'll just do it on my own kind of thing. And you can, yeah, I thought he was absolutely superb for them yesterday. Probably one of the best players I've seen at the City Ground since we've come up. And I don't say that lightly because I don't like Liverpool, as you know. So... yeah, the one-way block gives White. We would, again, a brilliant move. And you're thinking, here we go. Guess who's there to block it? Him.
One that the only incident that annoyed me, you're right about Van Dijk. He was incredible. And you're right. It was positioning masterclass, basically. I don't think he actually made any tackles. He just happened to just be there.
Yeah.
What annoyed me, there was three of him at one point. But the only thing that annoyed me, there was one moment where a one he has Hudson-Odoi in space. It's just 2-on-1. And always just pop it down the left, and then that's it. He's got a shot away.
That's what I mean about the overplaying, and you know, there was quite a few times first half as well. Hudson-Odoi could have put Elanga down the channel when he held it, and then it was similar to the Villa game where, as a striker, you're trying to break that line with your pace, and Forrest was just holding it that second longer, and then you go, and then you're offside. You know, it's got to be that little bit quicker.
I think the one for me is actually, this is what leads up to the controversy, is Hudson-Odoi cuts back and gives it to Gibbs White to shoot. And I think if he gives it down to Danilo, I think it's an easier chance for us to score from. But anyway, we get a corner, and this is where the controversy comes in, because not only does Konate fake a head injury, it's a potential penalty on Amabibadile. And then Paul Turney stops the ball when Callum Hudson-Odoi has got the ball outside of the penalty area. So I've actually got someone who has had a lot of controversy, someone who does listen to the pod and is a follower of ours on Twitter called Shibs. He got a lot of stick from a lot of Liverpool fans and other football fans and they've like cropped the rule out. But basically it says the procedure of a drop ball is the drop ball is dropped for the defending team goalkeeper in their penalty area if, when play was stopped, the ball was in the penalty area or the last touch of the ball was in the penalty area. In all other cases, the referee drops the ball for the one player of the team that last touched the ball at the position where it last touched a player, an outside agent, or as outlined in law, 9.1 a match official, and that's pretty much it. So Callum Hudson-Odoi has the ball on the outside the edge of the box. He's getting fended away. But referee stops the game for a head injury. One, Kanate should go off for a head injury. If he's faking it, then that should surely be a yellow card of like you're basically conning the ref. And then Liverpool get the ball, and I know it's 2 minutes, but they coincidentally go up the other end, win a corner where I think Harry Toffolo maybe should force a throw in. But we defend the ball really, really well. And then Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's been blamed for not getting rid of the ball, is tackled by a Wunnie, in my opinion. He looks like he's going to go to the left-back position. Endo's following him there. Hudson-Odoi's got his arms in the air when a Wunnie tackles him. And then a Wunnie's half-arsed attempt at blocking McAllister's cross. And credit to McAllister, it's a great ball in. And Darwin Núñez gets his head on it and guides it into the corner. And 9 times out of 10, he either hits the post or it goes wide half the time with him because he's very hit and miss, Darwin Núñez. But it's an excellent header and it's game over. What can you do? Just wanted your thoughts on all of that. Christian, I'll start with yourself.
I've refused to watch Match of the Day back, so I haven't seen the Andy O penalty claim. I did think it was quite funny, though, that
It could be given either way because yeah. Dan's has a similar one, but it would have been soft. I thought it was soft at the time, but at the few replays, I kind of think, wait, I've seen him given.
But Dan's one was right in front of me, to be fair. And I thought it was interesting watching Murillo immediately. Danilo just got tangled him straight away. And obviously Dan's dropped the floor. I thought there was nothing in that, but of course they gave that a bit of a check. It's quite funny to give ours a check, but of course, look who it benefits, and we can't have Little Forest ruining the Klopp farewell narrative, can we? So then the incident with Kanate, okay, fine. If he wants to do that, fine. Me and my mate were talking about this actually. We're saying that there's so much. Yeah, I want to make sure I get this right. There's so much sort of like exploitation you can get from this head injury rule, and it's. There's just so often like, he's got another head injury, therefore stop the play. And I know, obviously, it could stop a game at any point. So it's very open to exploitation. And of course, Kanate does that. And, I'm surprised we haven't had the Liverpool loving media go, how that's clever play to stop a Forest attack yet, because that'll probably come in time. But it's just wrong. I mean, what happens is wrong. I mean, I know there's Liverpool fans are sort of claiming that, they don't like anything. Going against them, do they? It has to be everything pro them. And if anyone has the audacity to suggest that they've somewhat been wronged in any capacity, then it's, all hell breaks loose. I mean, look at what happened with Southampton, for example, when they tapped up Lallana, Van Dijk and Lambert. And that was all great. But when City did it with Sterling, it was kick them out the league and strip them all their titles and send them to the North Premier. And, how dare they do something to the great Liverpool. But it's just infuriating. Just infuriating beyond words. Because the one in the first half where Yates, I think, takes it to the head and he goes down, the ball's still in our penalty box. So therefore, by the law, it has to go back to Sells. So
I believe Nico Williams heads the ball. So technically,
yeah, he has the last touch of the ball anyway. So therefore, the ball's the last touch in the penalty box. So the referee's actually the right thing by doing that. Which makes it more frustrating because he's done the right thing in the first half. Because I know, obviously, we were saying after the game that, it happened to us in the first half. But when you look at it back, the ball's in our box. So by law, it should be our ball. So fine, it's a stupid rule, I agree. But, and it's very harsh on the attacking side, but that is a law. The second one, Hudson-Odoi is a good 10, 50, or 10 yards outside the penalty box. So therefore, it has to be a Forest drop ball. We're having the same conversations every week. It felt like it was Wolves at the start of the season who were getting shafted week in, week out by ref. And now it's us. Like against Newcastle, we should have had a penalty. Against West Ham, we should have had a penalty. Thankfully, it didn't impact the result. The goal United scored was highly controversial. Bear in mind, one very similar to it got disallowed literally a week before. Then we had that yesterday. And then you wonder why Marinakis is chasing the referee down the tunnel, shouting every week at him. And that'll be, I'm not exactly saying that's right, but there's no consequence for what City does. He'll get a Prem game next week. There'll be nothing. He doesn't have to come out and explain his actions. He doesn't have to come out and say anything. He drives home, gets his 1,500 quid of a game, Premier League game package on top of his salary, goes home, puts his feet up, that's it. Whereas us, we've lost a point that would have been very valuable because of his incompetence. And we're just meant to sit there and take it. I'm fed up of it. Like, that that completely changes the game at that point. We've gone from an attacking situation where we might get a shot away, we might not. We might get a corner again, we might not. We might put a cross in that Taiwo sticks in the back of the net, we might not. We don't know. We've just gone from an attacking situation where we could get something out of the game. We might not, you never know. But the fact is that was taken away from us. And then we immediately have to go to the defensive situation. We've got players contesting. And then, lo and behold, from that kick, they get a corner and score. Like, and yes, it's poor from Awoniyi getting in the way of Hudson-Odoi. I mean, from where I was, it looked like Hudson-Odoi just didn't clear it. But even then, by the time the corner's taken, by the time the falls to a Forest player, that's 40 seconds over the 8 minutes. Why hasn't he just blown then? Like, it's all well and good saying that, we should do better afterwards. And yeah, maybe there is an element of truth in that. But I guarantee that's the other way around the Anfield and we need a goal and we have a corner that's clear and it falls to Liverpool player Van Dijk and it's still inside the penalty area. The referee blows full time. No one cares. That's it. Full time. We've got over now. 40 seconds. That was your last chance. Unlucky. But no, because it's Liverpool, we have to play on. We can't have the, you know, we must have the mentality monsters, Klopp's kids. So, this champion's mentality to dig so deep in stoppage time. I suppose it must be nice having refs just manufacture results when you can play poorly. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, this is, we keep saying, like, it's just incompetence, whatever else. The Premier League's the best league in the world. Apparently, the best players, the best coaches can't afford the best referees somehow. And as a result, we get corruption like that. There's no other word for what happened. It is just corruption. I didn't want to say it. I firmly believe now there is genuinely an agenda to get Liverpool to win the league title. You saw what happened at Newcastle. We saw what happened yesterday. It will keep happening for the rest of the season for the Klopp farewell tour. There was two occasions yesterday where Klopp kicked off to the point that Tierney walked over to him, didn't get booked once. Last week, was it against Liverpool, Newcastle, West Ham, where a referee came up, Nuno, booked him first time for coming over. Where's the consistency? Oh, it's against Klopp and Liverpool. Forget it. I've had enough. Like, I'm so done with it all now. Like, I'm just so done.
Yeah, I mean, the two bookings that we received for time waste, and I don't think equates to 40 seconds either. So that's another kind of thing to add to the wound.
One of them is a misconception because it was a foul by Danilo. I think not time waste. I know it's a time waste.
He kicks the ball away.
Fair enough.
But it's still like not 20 seconds of worth of adding time, is it really? Unless that's like the punishment for kicking the ball away these days, then you'd have like about 10 minutes added on nearly every week. What, Reece, have you got anything to add to what?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start from the top. So the one in the first half, there's a shot coming. It's hit Ryan Yates on the head. Obviously a powerful shot. We're in a day and age now where the concussion is high on the agenda, isn't it? Back in the day, you probably play on with that. Sort of players blocked it with his head. You know, the balls, with respect, aren't, bricks, are they nowadays as well?
No, bit floaty and, now.
Yeah, and, I think Nico Williams gets the first one on, and I think then someone hooks it clear, right? So the problem for me is, I mean, the laws now, they're just too overcomplicated. We've hooked that clear, okay, and it's gone back to... And, 5 seconds later, that had gone back to Liverpool and they got the ball back. If the referee says then, rolls it back to Nico Williams and say, punt it into their half, give them the ball back, nobody in that ground moans at all. Nobody, right? Their fans was moaning at the decision as well. I mean, I was surprised. I was kind of laughing because I thought, we've hooked it clear, Liverpool are going to get the ball back. Just give them the ball back on the halfway line. I think everyone would have been happy with that. And then that's how it used to be back in the day, the traditionalists, and nobody would have known. And then for ours, for a start, there's been this misconception because Yates has put his foot high. He doesn't even touch Konate. He collides with Kelleher. And then I think Konate has a little look to see that we've kind of got the ball back and then goes down because he knows he's probably a bit dazed from the collision. That ball is going to, if it's a good ball from Hudson-Odoi, which is capable of putting in, that comes back in the area and he's a little bit tiny dazed and someone comes in and heads it in. You know, it's not going to look good on him, is it? So he goes to the floor, right? Then the referee, then all he has to do, again, is say to, I don't know who would have been there right back at the time, yeah, punt it back to them and give it back to him on the halfway line. Forest were back in possession. And I think everyone would have accepted that. But yeah, he's give them the ball back. And that's took us from an attacking situation of having the ball to being back in a low block pretty much because Liverpool are going to come forward. Virgil van Dijk's going to have the ball on the halfway line and he's going to chip it up or ping it wide. And then, you know, obviously the winner corner, we pretty defended it pretty well. I mean, we got the first contact. It's then come out to Harvey Elliott. And when he's lining it up, you're thinking, if he hits this well, this is going straight in the top corner. We block that. And then it spins away. And then, like Christian said, you'd probably, you know what, if that's at Anfield, the whistle blows. But, you know, but then there's a bit of a mix-up. And then, to be fair, you've got to hand it to Liverpool and McAllister for nicking it back. And then he's chipped a ball in, and all Nunes really has to do is just kind of brush it in, doesn't he? He doesn't really have to put any power in it. The trajectory of the ball's done that, and it's massively got them out of jail because they didn't deserve it. They really did not deserve it. But annoyingly, from their perspective, you'll say, well, that might be a title-winning team of going right to the death, whatever the controversy is of, you know, the referee, etc. But that's for them to discuss. But yeah, they didn't deserve it. They really didn't deserve it. And that's what's the cruel thing for us, because I know we missed chances. I know we made the mistake at the end of not clearing the ball, but we limited them to so little yesterday. And every player on that pitch just gave their all for Forest yesterday, and it was just such a cruel way to lose. You generally felt like at the end you'd have rather been done 10-0 than been beat like that yesterday. That's how it felt. I mean, I dread to think what the scenes were like at the back of Lower Bridge when I walked the opposite way around yesterday. It was just, I just felt numb because I can't remember the last time I've been so gutted about a game than that. It was, pretty heartbreaking, to be honest.
Like, I think I could take it if has Nunes on 97th minute with 97:59 rattled it top corner the last kick of the game. I could have taken that. Enough, it would have really, really hurt. I'd have been gutted when I was left the stadium. Yeah. I could have taken that because at least that would have been fair game. Like, you know, you sort of go, you know what, fine. Their quality shows, it happens. To have it taken away from us like that by a bent ref, I just can't sit with that at all.
What I could have took as well is if they'd have dominated the game and battered us and we was holding on.
Yeah,
There was never a point where I think, Jesus, we're really holding on here. Never.
No, but, at no point. Like, they knocked it around very well in Liverpool, but they had no way through. They just couldn't get past everyone they tried.
I mean, they must have hit the side netting several times with when they got into. But they didn't really have, like, anything down the centre of the goal, really. You'd say it was kind of down the channels, wanted a couple of efforts into the side netting. And like I said earlier, the header, what Sel said, actually come off Murillo's back, it looked like, which was an incredible save. And yeah, it's just such a shame because we really didn't deserve that yesterday. And you look at the results round us, I mean, I fully expected Everton to win yesterday. They'd lost at home to West Ham, which was a stinker of a result, really, especially after going ahead. You know, Luton were 2-2 with a few minutes to go, fought back really well, to be fair to them, and then lost the game. You know, Brentford were ahead against Chelsea, who, you know, have been called billion-pound bottle jobs this week, and Chelsea fought back for a point. So a point yesterday would have been, on the grand scheme of things, and the opposition were playing, you look at before the game, would have been an absolute massive point and a massive bonus for us. And unfortunately, it's the referee and also our just bleeding confidence of just oofing that ball and hitting the Civic Centre as it used to be has cost us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of disgruntlement in the comments because someone called Phil is slagging us off to the high heavens that we've played against the team of kids. I mean, they had one lad who's made his debut in Bobby Clark, who was pretty good last week in the League Cup final against Chelsea, and Conor Bradley, who's played right back for Liverpool for the past 6 to 8 weeks, and everyone else is like million-pound
player. Their back four is, I know Trent's missing, but apart from that, it's full strength. I mean, Conor Bradley's been absolutely brilliant when I've watched him a few times. You know, Harvey Elliott, there's been calls from their fans saying he should be in around an England squad, so he's pretty experienced now. I'm trying to think. I know Bobby Clark's quite young, isn't he? But Gakpo's a Dutch international. I'm trying to think who else.
Luis Diaz,
Colombian international. These are, you know, they've got plenty because they've got a couple of kids in there. They've got plenty of experience still, and Liverpool would have still fully expected to come to us yesterday and beat us.
Yeah, of course they would.
And they also, with an hour gone, they brought on Szoboszlai. They paid, 50-60 million for Hungarian international. Really good player, and also the goal scorer another international Uruguayan international in Darwin Nunez who paid. Yeah, what, they paid 80 million for him, something like that. So, you know, this is still got plenty to, yeah. I know the media try to make out they don't spend anything, but it's just...
I think what kills me more is the Nottingham based Liverpool fans who have never been to Anfield after. I mean, my mate who's a Liverpool fan, he has been to Anfield, to be fair to him, but he like texts me with the little eye emoji. He's not even bleeding watch the game, the knobhead. Like, that's what's annoying me. But anyway, we're gonna move on. We're gonna get into some steps on it before some player performances.
Red Side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
I do think there might be a running theme throughout this slept on it thoughts. So I'll try and read as many as we can. So Rob Waite, awful officiating, woeful finishing and defensive mistakes. I mean, one defensive mistake. And I wouldn't even call it a defensive mistake. Before Groundhog Day. Feels like writing's on the wall. Richie Rich, if only Ilanga could score. Nick Kempel, Paul Turney was player of the match and changed the game. Awful ref, Yumi Bear. Hard, had time to digest. Today is the day I am resigned to the fact we are going down. Constant errors, constant as what week in, week out. Points deduction incoming and have to play all the sides around us. Yes, but four of them are away and we have won four away games in essentially two seasons. Frank the Tank, mistake at the back again. Tried to pass it out instead of booting it clear. Ending the game. Game management from Forest players is piss poor. Daniel Bird, Callum Hudson-Odoi was too naive at the end and should have put his laces through the ball into Rose Ed. Decent performance. As we said, I think watching a replay, it's not quite his fault, really. Sam, Paul Turney, man of the match. Absolutely ridiculous decision. May as well have put it in the net himself. Wouldn't have happened if Alanga or even anyone... else would just shoot. Two really good chances wasted. Last count of how many amount of times we tried to pass the ball instead of shooting. Keeping us in function. Can Nuno's anger act as a catalyst for improved displays? Even Colin Frey got burned. Good effort undermined by basics again. Alanga should have had two. Taiwo should have squared to Callum Hudson-Odoi. One of them should clear the ball into Rose Ed. We control the controllables. Did Mr. Marinakis get a red? Snowboard Pete, furious to have lost, especially when we were better, in my opinion. But it's on us, missed chances in front of goal and not even getting it on target. Was it a head injury? Yes, from replay. Possession after, I don't know, but we got some similar earlier. We've also addressed that that ruling as well. Carl Booth, everyone will point to Turney not knowing the rules of the game he's refereeing, but at the end of the day, Alanga needs to finish that chance and we need to clear our lines. Less than 20 seconds to go, has to be Rose Ed shooting ourselves in the foot again. Martin Fretwell, Big Six corruption has ruined a great display from us. Paul Walker, we are going down no matter how good we are. Josh Potts, ref has crapped the bed again. When are things going to even out for us? Fed up of referees being the big talking point at full time. Deserved a point. I agree, but I'm sick of talking about referees too. I'm sure everyone else is. Osh Jones, hard to take any positives when you've left that taste in your mouth at the end. Seething with the ref for not knowing the laws, but also our decision making. Ty refusing to square to Callum Hudson-Odoi. Tyro refusing to clear at the end. So frustrating. Last but no means least, so we've got so many. Malcolm Heron, defended and did the dirty work brilliantly for 98 minutes. Decision making, finishing in the final third was dire. Something we've been good at recently. Silly error at the end, which has cost us points, unfortunately. Promising performance. And gutting at the same. It's a real shame that Paul Turney didn't take a leaf out of the book of the referee who refed Real Madrid yesterday when the ball got crossed into the box. He blew the whistle and Jude Bellingham's end of the ball in the net. Because I feel
ridiculous as well.
Just going back to our incident, as once the corner's been cleared and Harvey Elliott's had the shot, I feel like that's two chances that Liverpool have had and the whistle should have gone then. But let's move on to some player performances. Christian, I'm going to start with yourself and I'm going to go with Ryan Yates, who I have a polarizing opinion of from week to week. And this week, it's been, again, in a positive light because I thought he was largely very, very good.
Ryan Yates started standing yesterday. There's no way around it. I mean, like, he was man of the match in the ground and I don't think anyone could dispute it, really. The issue with him, it's just so frustrating, is that there's such a lack of consistency. I mean, Like, he'll play like that, where he looks like, you know, I have to try to think of some defensive mastermind from many, many years gone by or whatever else. But he was everywhere. He disrupted everything. Like, he just couldn't find a way to deal with him. There's one point where he held two Liverpool players off and won a throw-in. Like, he just looked so good yesterday, Yates. And, you know, like, he was really up for it. Like, there was a time around the hour mark, I was a little bit worried about our midfield maybe getting a bit too tired, but he just seemed to find a second wind out of nowhere and, you know, just kept getting stuck in, kept winning the ball, kept doing the simple thing. That's all we want, Yates, to do the simple thing. Just find, like, I know it sounds horrible, like, but there was, we said it with Brian Clough to say about John McGovern as well, just give the ball to someone who can play. Like, don't worry about it yourself. And, like, obviously that was very derogatory to John McGovern, a European Cup winning captain, but it's very similar with Yates. Just pass it. That's all he has to do. Just simple ball. Just give it a 5-yard pass to someone else. Just keep things ticking along and then just go back to doing what you do well. Don't worry about what you can't do well. Just give it to someone who can. So, and he did that yesterday perfectly. As soon as he got it, it was very quick to release it to someone else, keep things ticking along, keep things moving. And yeah, he was great in the air. He was great everywhere. He embodied what it should mean to be a Nottingham Forest captain yesterday, Ryan Yates. And, you know, that should give supporters a great sense of pride. He didn't deserve the losing side. Put it that way.
Definitely. Reese, your first one is going to be Andrew Amabamadile, who's been in and out. I think he was pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, I think we said at the time he was very harsh to lose his place. I think he lost it to Niakate originally, didn't he? I might be wrong on that. But I thought him and Murillo, the first little partnership they had when people was at AFCON and Felipe was injured, was very good. He's then obviously, like Christian said earlier, Niakate has been tried. I mean, we all like Felipe, but it's obviously kind of fitness issue, isn't it, with him? You know, I wouldn't expect him to be playing, you know, two or three games in a week. So Amabamadele got his chance just then. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was absolutely excellent. And him and Murillo as a two, I think long term, this is the level we're going to be at, it's probably the partnership we're going to go for, really. You know, as much as I like Niakate, Bolly's also a steady head. And, you know, we also like Felipe, but it's just that consistent element, you know, that I think they've probably shown as a pair in the most consistency, really. I mean, I'm not sure if when you did your little bit of research, Christian, have they been the two who's been together the most, Amabamadele and Murillo, or?
They were not. It was, Murillo and I think Niakate had the most.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent yesterday. And again, he was another one who didn't deserve to be on the losing side. I mean, like Christian said, he put some really good blocks in. He was good in the air. He's good on the floor. He was excellent. And
so that was the fourth time. Yeah, that was the fourth time they played together. Really,
I thought you were more than that. Anyway. I'm surprised by that.
In the league, that is obviously. I think they played together at Blackpool, didn't they, together? So,
and from Bristol City.
Yeah, but in the league, so that's the fourth time in the league. Just for context for the other ones, so we've had McKenna, Worrell and Bolly had four games together. McKenna and Worrell was a pairing, had one against Burnley, which we won all. Niakate, Bolly and Aurier had one together, that was at City. Murillo and Bolly have had five games together. Murillo, Niakate and Bolly have had three games together as a three. Niakate, Murillo had six together. Murillo and Felipe have had three. It's all league, by the way, obviously they played together in the Cup too against United. Murillo and Amabamadele have now had four. So, but
it's really worrying when you've named that many combinations.
And I think we need some consistency there, really, because, you know, that's something that's been a concern all season. You know, be part of the reason why we've been defensively, you know, making so many mistakes, because you're changing the goalkeeper as well. You know, how many times have we changed the goalkeeper this season? You know, turn the start of the season, Vlachodimos come in, Turner come back in, and ourselves is in. It's crazy how many changes we've made, and I know they're mostly individual errors, but that isn't going to help when you're changing that defense and goalkeeper all the time. So
you need a stealth spine in your team, really. Like,
I mean, Amabamadele had not really done anything wrong before, so he hadn't done yesterday. So let him keep the shirt for me. You know, it's his and Murillo's to lose now for me, but we'll see.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Yeah. Someone who has been a consistent feature of recent weeks in the back four is Nico Williams, Christian. And I thought against Luis Diaz, I thought he matched him stride for stride in a lot of areas. I mean, Luis Diaz is a very, very good winger as well. What did you make?
I thought that was we're finally starting to see Nico Williams actually resemble a Premier League footballer, which, you know, I think there's still a long way to go before he justifies his price tag. But I mean, the contrast between this and last season, like this time last season, he'd have been out of place in a League Two pitch for all the wrong reasons. You know, like the way he was playing for Forest was just abysmal. But well, for whatever reason, since Nuno's come in, he just looks very, very good in a four as well, which is one of the reasons why Marco Silva didn't sign him at Fulham. He couldn't be trusted in the back four. But he was brilliant yesterday, Williams. Absolutely brilliant. Like, he was tenacious. He was winning his tackles. He was winning his duels. He was positioning himself well. He was decent in the air. He was strong on the ball. He was finding feet well. Even on the pressure when he was receiving it, he was dealing with it well. He wasn't rushing or panicking. He was just finding a red shirt or finding a way to wriggle out of a situation. Williams was very, very good yesterday. And, you know, from me, that's some quite high praise. But, yeah, I was very impressed. At the minute, the shirt's his. I don't see, even when Montiel comes back, I don't see him taking it. Even when Aina comes back, I don't see him taking it. I think that he's, if you're looking at cemented positions in a team at the minute, you'd probably say he's one of them for now.
I mean, I think if Aina comes back, I think left back is definitely a spot where, unfortunately, Harry Toffolo looks a little out of depth.
I felt, to be fair, Toffolo, second half yesterday was very good.
Yeah,
even first half, I didn't think it was that bad. I know, Reece, you weren't entirely sold. But I thought
just thought he looked a little bit rusty first half. Which
yeah,
is,
maybe.
I get understandable because, you know, he's not played much, has he, Reece?
Yeah,
really.
But he was generally all right, I felt. I felt that, you know, that entire back four were all 7 out of 10 minimum yesterday.
I'd only wrote three players down because I thought Lee would join us until this morning. And then so Phil in the comments has been very critical of Nuno, and a lot of people defending Nuno in that. I mean, he said we've won 1 in 12. I'm not sure if that's correct or anything, but Reece, I'm going to give you Nuno Espirito Santo, and I just want your thoughts on general what you think you've made of him in his spell, because I feel like We're so close to getting this right. Yesterday we were close to getting 3 or at least 1 point, and I think in majority of games we've been in every contest, really. What have you made of him so far, and what did you think of him yesterday, especially if anything?
I mean, when he come in, I expected us to be more defensive than what we've been, to be honest. Aside from the Arsenal game, you'd say. The first hour, which, to be fair, the game plan from his end probably would have worked if he went for, you know, Matt Turner. I think it's a tough one because it's a results-based business, isn't it? And you don't get any points for playing well, or like yesterday, you don't get any points for sheer effort and determination or deserving a point. At the end of the day, the facts are yesterday, whether by hook or crook, we've got 0 points on the board. I mean, any point really yesterday, I think most would have said would have been a bonus, but we fully deserved it on the day. It's a tough one, and I'm fully behind him because I've seen enough. I think attacking-wise, I know his shooting boots were, you know, poor yesterday, but again, we created a load of chances against, this is the best side in the league at the minute, let's have it right, the top of the league. We created numerous chances, some really good chances. And then defensively, it's just the errors. And, you know, I think Nuno must have had an afro when he joined us, because he must have pulled his hair out that much with some of the errors with we conceded goals with, because, you know, on the majority, like yesterday, we defended, you know, for the majority of the game yesterday pretty well. And then what do we? And it's just silly errors that that cost us. And at this level, you get punished, unfortunately. Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, it's a results-based business. But I don't see a team that isn't playing for the manager at all. You know, you saw that yesterday. I thought they left everything out on the pitch yesterday. And you look at, like, last week where we were absolutely dreadful for 40-odd minutes. I don't like saying this, but under Steve Cooper, I would have worried last week even more because I think we would have probably just gone completely under and got absolutely done. And we actually showed a bit of tenacity and got back into the game. Fair enough, we shot ourselves in the foot again, but we actually showed some tenacity to get back in the game. You know, there's always going to be the odd comparisons into Steve on social media. I mean, I seen one tweet yesterday saying, you know, where are the Cooper Art Brigade? I find that a bit strange, but yeah, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. If he keeps us up, then he's been a success. If he doesn't, then he's been a failure. That's what it will be, won't it? Because, you know, unless we get an absolute monumental points deduction, if we get, say, I don't know, a win's worth of points chalked off and we don't stay up, then we've only got ourselves to blame, in my opinion. So at the end of the season, we'll see. But yeah, I'm fully behind him. I'm seeing enough in the performances to convince me, but it's just about taking the chance at the right moment. Lacking that little bit of belief yesterday, I think that's what probably thinking, oh, this is Liverpool. Well, we needed to put them to the sword yesterday, because there's so many times. And then as well, like we said, that lack of concentration is killing us. But yeah, I think, you know, I know I'm not going to rabbit on because this will be last, but we won away at Newcastle, which we didn't expect. We beat Manchester United at home. You know, last season, we didn't even lay a glove on Man United. You know, and then
we beat West Ham.
Yeah, and then West Ham's a game I think a lot of us expected to win, but it would have been very Forest to not win, and we were very convincing in that game. So it's just the frustrations. And like the Brentford game was the one where I thought first 15 minutes we were absolutely superb in that game, and then what do? We shoot ourselves in the foot and the game changes. So, you know, it's we'll see. You know, the proof will be in the pudding at the end of the season. But, I mean, I'm fully behind the bloke, to be honest. And we've got to get behind him. We've got to be all in this together, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, 11 games. Go on. We've got 11 games left, and I think 8 of them are.
End of the day, we're out of the FA Cup now, but there are 11 cup finals. That's what they've got to be treated as. You know, I said last week that the Brighton away game is probably a game you looked at and think it'd be a bonus to go there. But that game is sandwiched between two biggest games in their history, let's be honest, against Roma, who are really on form at the minute as well. So they'll have, I think, some focus on them. They've also got, obviously, Matoma's now out for the rest of the season. They've been beaten yesterday. So that's a game where maybe we can go and look at, and like we did last season, you know, nick a point or something, or even nick three. You never know. So, yeah, we'll start.
There's only been one instance as well where we've lost a game by more than one goal on the Nuno so far, and that was against Villa. So, you know, it's not like we're getting
shafted by referees every week. So, you know, I don't help either. And shafted by ourselves. But
yeah, we've got to take chances as well.
We'll move on just because we're getting nearer to the hour mark. So we'll just brush on the Manchester United game. We're out of the FA Cup due to a late goal from Casemiro. Another set-piece goal let in, which I thought it was harsh. A game where we just really couldn't take our chances. I mean, I think we had so many shots on target. They're just all going down the throat of Onana, and another day we could have won. But I thought, actually, took it from a neutral's perspective, it was a really, really good cup game, to be fair. It was so throw and two between both sides. I thought it was terrible, mate,
to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I just thought it was two sides who were absolutely extremely wasteful. I mean, there was points, I said this to you guys in chat, there was points where I thought United's performance was a disgrace if I was one of their fans. Their work rate, and just seeing players just literally walking about like Rashford, and then next day releasing videos whinging, you know, realise a club who you're playing for, it should be an honour to play for a club of that size, especially being a Mancunian, and just literally not even jogging.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, yeah, wasteful, but at least there was chances. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, been games where there's no chances. So that's what I was thinking. I just thought it was a good game in that aspect, but unfortunate to go out how we did. Just, yeah, annoying, but kind of like, are you guys, I know Reece, you really, really like the FA Cup and you're probably not happy to go out, but in the grand scheme of things, like you said, we've got 11 cup finals left now. Is it kind of better that we've got the league just to focus on now, or would you have rather have stayed in and had the chance to go to Wembley, maybe? Would have played Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean that kind of took something away, really, the draw coming out before the game. Yeah, you know, Emma was like, oh, guess who I've got? And it's like, oh, it's going to be Liverpool. And you're like, oh, bloody hell, that's a really tough tie, you know. So I think I'd have probably been a bit more gutted, let's say, for the drawn Championship Coventry at home, for an example. I mean, God, geez. I mean, if we'd have got through and it had been Liverpool at home, I'd dread to think what the atmosphere would have been like. It would have been very top. It would have been very interesting after yesterday's events. But now, I do like the FA Cup, but also, you know, the concentration being on the league. Yeah, you'd probably have to say it's lesser of two evils. I was a bit that is one gripe I kind of had with Nuno. I did think he ran a few plays into the ground the other night, whereas, like, we probably needed Tyrod to start yesterday. Whereas, you know, he probably, for me, could have played Origi the other night up top and given Gio Reyna a chance, who's not, you know, he got, 2 minutes? I mean, that's a bit of a waste. So that was my only gripe, really. And we ended up, you know, with, like Christian said earlier, really, with a winger up top yesterday and a striker out wide. So, yeah, it was a shame, really. It just go out so late as well, I guess. But, yeah, it was a game. It was just a game of missed chances, and it was two poor sides in front of goal on the night. And, you know, obviously Casemiro nicked in there with a header. So, yeah, a shame, but the bigger picture is the Premier League. We just need to get points on the board, don't we? So, end of the day, like I said to a friend when I played Paul on Thursday night, no one will remember that Manchester United Cup tie if we stay up at the end of the season. So, yeah, that's, I think, a fair synopsis on it.
Christian, anything to add?
Yeah, I was a bit gutted we lost it. I felt that, I obviously love the Cups. I think that you should be trying or aspiring to, like, go as far as you can. It's the whole point of football, to try and win things ultimately at the end of the day. A little annoying to go out the way we did. Much like you said, it was just like, it felt like for both teams, really, most of the finishing was just straight to the keeper. It was like a magnet in the middle of the goal and the ball was just going straight there every time. The manner in which we conceded was very annoying. I thought it was a very preventable free kick. It's one of those rare instances where I can't really fault Turner too much. I thought on first viewing it was entirely his fault, which went straight through him. But obviously on the replay, you can see he takes a little glance and takes it past him. But he shouldn't have won the header to begin with. So I guess the only positive of them scoring that is it saves us extra time. We'd be even more leggy for yesterday. But a little annoying we haven't gone through. But it's just, like Reece said, sort of the focus now should be surviving the Premier League. 11 more games to go.
Yeah. Before we get into Brighton, there is obviously the news about the City ground as well. And I mean, we're probably going to go over the hour mark in this one because I'm sure we've all got an opinion on this. But it's come out and there's been talk where Tom Cartledge has basically said, and I think some other people involved at Forest, where they're saying, well, we're going to have to now start thinking of the actual possibility of moving grounds and maybe building a new ground somewhere else because of the issue of the council of trying to renegotiate the lease, even though we're supposed to have signed like a 50-year one or whatever it was not too long ago. They want like quadruple the money, even though they're bankrupt, which I find absolutely perplexing because you're trying to basically charge your only asset that's bringing you money into your local establishment, and how many other businesses are thriving that are in around the city ground. I mean, that Bridgeford chippy shop must be millionaires on Radcliffe Road. So, you know, I would be absolutely gutted if that was the case. I do think the letter that I think it's at Lee Anderson or whatever is the MPs wrote.
Yeah, a few MPs.
I think that is it's one to really kick them up the backside, in my opinion. I can't imagine us wanting to move, especially because of how long we've been there for one and how much it means to people. Reese, what's your opinion on it, first of all?
Just a negotiation tactic, mate, really. This is, you know, I don't want to sound mean to some fans, but you sometimes after you read something, some fans never like done a negotiation in their life because it's just a negotiation tactic, a bit of PR. People kick up a fuss and it basically gives a, you know, the council size 12 up the backside to get things in motion, as it did with, I think it was eight MPs signing a letter. I mean, that's just for political gain anyway, but we're not going to go into that discussion. But no, I think I'd be amazed, and I'd be willing to wager anybody that would move away, because you've got to think as well, there's a couple of reasons for this, and that's, well, there's a few. I mean, people saying there's not really the land for us to build a new stadium. And then you also look at his identity as a club, you know, the badge, the tree on the river, and then we're going to and possibly move to an industrial estate somewhere where, yeah, there might be a stream. I don't know. Yeah.
We'll make one.
Some grass somewhere. And then obviously, you know, like the, obviously the pre-match song, you know, the mist rolling in, etc. I'd be amazed if that was to happen. And also what people don't see as well is Forest being a big entity and a big business in that area. Look at the trade that brings in so many businesses. Like you just mentioned, Adam, the chippy. You know, we all, I mean, me, Emma, and some of my mates love the Cobb shop just up the road from the club shop. And there's so many others, you know, little businesses who, to be honest, will probably, you know, rely on match day trade to be successful. So Absolutely. Are they really going to, you know, punish that? It just isn't going to happen. I'd be amazed. And yeah, you know, like I said, just what it is in the business world is, you know, there's so many small businesses what are propped up by other businesses, and just look at it, would kind of decimate that area, wouldn't it? Because there'd just be no, you know, like the Cobb, I'm going to use this as an example. I don't think that even opens in the week. And look at how many, they only have to work on a match day to make their business successful, because I see the amount of people going there. And if Forest obviously was to move, them type of businesses, they'd just be worthless. So, yeah, it ain't going to happen for me. It's just a bit of PR. It will get things in motion. It will get a negotiation going. And I'd imagine it will get the council to lower their estimate on the lease. You know, I think Forest pay a quarter of a million at the minute. The council want $1 million, I think it was, I believe. You know,
yeah.
There's probably a deal done somewhere in the middle, you know, 600K, something like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, whenever I've spoke to away supporters and stuff on the way to the ground, they always say like how much they love coming to Forest because of where it's situated and everything else. And Christian, as someone that's like not a Nottingham born and bred fan, but you've got Nottingham in your heart essentially because of your dad. When you like walk over Trent Bridge and all that sort of thing, and for someone that's not from Nottingham originally, like for that iconic ground to kind of maybe be the thing that helps you fall in love with the club, it would be absolutely devastating for that to change, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, it'd be, you know, travesty. Yeah, but yeah, if I mean, me and Dad were talking about it on the way up, and he was sort of saying like, you know, that'd probably be the thing that sort of does it for him, if you like. He wouldn't really. Obviously, still have Forest will still be his team and stuff, but it's such a huge part of our soul, like the City Grounds. The fact it's even got to this point is a joke. The fact that it's, you know, the council, I don't know what they're doing. It's been 5 years now since it's been that planning permission. Like, how have they just been able to just push the ball along for 5 years? Like, it's just absolutely insane. And, you know, you get, like Reece said, like it's just so much. Like Forest, like whether people like it or not, and whether Notts County fans want to kick off or not, Nottingham Forest is one of the biggest like sources of revenue for the city of Nottingham, because hotels, like trades on the match day, you know, like travel, etc., all these small things people don't even think about, like, you know, parking for example on a match day, like how much they get from that, like it's all like pub revenue on a match day, all these sorts of things. Even if Forest aren't playing pub on match day, because if they can show the game, they'll show it, for example, if you want TNT or Sky, for example, like all these things add up, because Nottingham Forest are a Premier League football club, I mean, you look at what they're doing for the community, like all the small pitches and stuff like that. You know, there's so much that Forest gives back to the city of Nottingham just by being a successful football club. So to hamper that is ridiculous. I saw someone say yesterday, like, if this was in America for the NFL, the council would give them tax breaks, they'd be so lenient, and give them the lands of their own free accord, because they know that what they make back is going to be more than what they can, you know, give out, for example. So because of how much it brings into the club. Like, but there are a few things I've seen which I find very bizarre. Like this notion that we need, I actually think if we can build a ground at 40,000, I think that'd be fine. I think that'd be more than enough for Forest. I mean, you know, you look at our average attendance in the Championship, for example, it wasn't, only when we were good was it pushing like 28,000, 29,000. Like before that, we were getting 24, 25. You know, I remember under the Fawaz era where people were boycotting games, it was average 17K. Like, you know, so yes, there's a demand now because we're a Premier League club, but we don't need like a Super Bowl that's going to have like empty seats if we get relegated again, for example. Also, the notion that you can't have a smaller stadium and be successful is nonsense. I mean, look at Aston Villa, for example, this season. They got a 40,000 capacity stadium at Villa Park. They're likely to get top four this season. They're likely to win a Conference League this season. And yeah, you can say because they spent money well and whatever else, but you know, it's not the, having a big ground isn't the be all and end all. Arsenal still haven't won the league title since they moved to the Emirates. That was nearly 20 years ago. Spurs haven't won a new trophy since they moved to the new grounds. You can say West Ham have, yeah, but I mean, equally, you can put any team in the Conference League in the Premier League and I fancy them to win it. So, it's very like annoying. It's like, even like Leicester, 33,000 capacity, say they won the FA Cup. You can say the league.
Premier League.
Yeah, but even for people who say, like, people, oh, you know, it's a fluke season winning the Premier League, blah, 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 blah. They've still won an FA Cup. Like, they've still been successful from having a small ground. Southampton got to Europe and got to the League Cup final from having a 30,000 capacity stadium. Like, you don't, this notion that you need to have, like, an 80, 90,000 seater is just nonsense. It's just completely nonsense. So, but yeah, that's my sort of two cents in it. And, but, you know, ultimately, the council getting in the way of Forest isn't good. It's prohibitive. I think that, you know, the Tory MPs are using it as a sort of like, it's giving them an open goal, basically, after all the kicking they've had, and rightfully so. They're just now courting favour, saying, oh, with that, it is a PR piece, basically, Reece. But just to move things along. But equally, there is an open threat there that Forest, for the first time in history, could consider moving grounds because, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if it got to a point where, if we're still here 2 years down the line, we haven't moved it along. There's no, you know, Marinakis wants this done by 2027, apparently. If we get to that point, we haven't done it, it'll go right, new stadium then.
Just to finally end on it as well, I know they said like for some games it was 50,000 kind of demand for tickets. The little issue for me would be that how many of them are actually genuine Forest fans, or is it just people who are from Nottingham who support your Liverpools, your Man United, etc. You think I'll get a season ticket at Forest because I can go and watch Liverpool once a season or Man United once a season, etc. I think, like, if we was a Premier League club, I'd probably say between 40 and 45. And just to finally end on this, I'm not going to name the business, but my dad's friends with someone who runs a business pretty, you know, local to the City Ground. And he said to my dad that his takings on a match day, because Forest was in the Premier League, was up by 10 grand. So that just shows you the benefits it has on us two local businesses in that area.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you've kind of stolen the words out of my mouth, Reece, because I thought 40,000, 45, you're going to get the genuine supporters in. I mean, you look at, I've been to Old Trafford in the Man United end, and there's no atmosphere because half of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
when I went to Anfield
this season, the side, the stand to the right here, the new stand, this corner, there was just tourists because they didn't even like look at the away fans when they scored or anything. And, and to be honest, you know, I know people have said this on social media. There's example yesterday, there's Liverpool fans in our end. I saw a lad who I know from Ilkeston, who's a Man U fan in our end the other night, for example. So people are getting in because, unfortunately, as well, people are sold money talks and BS walks, unfortunately. And people are obviously clear. It's disappointing to see genuine Forest fans selling the tickets to people who are Man U and Liverpool fans.
Yeah. Anything sad, Christian? Is that it?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I know the council have had some issues. They're basically bankrupt at the minute. But it's I don't see how they can be so stubborn to realise that a successful Nottingham Forest is very much in their interests.
They're just trying to hold us to ransom, aren't they?
Because but they're not going to do that, are they? Let's say Forest turn around then and go, right, okay, screw you all. We'll build a new stadium. We'll find a plot of land. And it's not even in Nottinghamshire, for example. Mm. Then what?
The report said that Forest were willing to obviously relocate the boat club. They was also willing to pay for like all the transport links, which obviously helps the council because they ain't got to spend any money on it. Trying to hold Forest to Ranfers to ransom. And fair play to the chairman and the Maranakis and etc. They've probably told them where to go, really. That's why they've released this piece, so there is some public outcry, which there has been, to basically kick them up the backside and stop being trying to rip off an asset to the community.
It's just stupid. It's just it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like it's the classic "don't bite the hand that feeds you," isn't it? Like, I mean, I'm not saying Forest is the be all and end all for the council's economy, but it plays a big part in what money comes into the coffers. Like, it's just so stupid. It's just antagonise them.
And it seems like other councils for other cities around the country are bending over backwards to sell their clubs.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get Forest to pay for some cycle routes and pay for some bus stuff. Yeah. And it's like, give over.
Get that boot out the Australian Simpsons episode and kick him on the back side with it and get him into gear. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I generally think it's a scare tactic, and I hopefully things will get resolved, because I couldn't imagine us moving into actual Nottinghamshire, so we can actually sing City Ground without any irony. we'll move on to the Brighton game, which is absolutely I think they're all huge games now. 11 games to go. We need as many points as possible because the points inductions is incoming, whether we like that or not, whether we know it's between 1 and 6 is a whole thing, because of obviously we've not touched on Everton getting points back, whether that's a good thing. I think it is largely a good thing that they got points back for us, but we'll see. Brighton, obviously, I think you mentioned Christian or Reese, I can't remember which one, that they play Rome in between. It was you, Reese, wasn't it? Right, they play Roma midweek, and then they play us on the Sunday, Roma again. The Thursday after. Christian, I'll start with yourself. Thoughts on the Brighton game? Obviously, I think the Rome game will play into their thinking. How do you see it going? And can I get a points prediction off your tool?
Points prediction or
points prediction? Yeah, how many points are we getting? Score prediction.
I think that I actually feel quite sorry for the Zerbi, to be honest, this season, because they've been. Obviously, they've lost McAllister, they lost Caicedo. They didn't really replace either. They tried for that guy from Germany, didn't they? Dahoud, but I think he's just gone back. I think it's Dahoud anyway.
But, they had him last season, didn't they? And then
it might be someone else who signed this season. Who had him on loan?
They signed that youngster, didn't they?
So either way, they've not replaced either very successfully, if at all. Matoma's out for the season now. Evan Ferguson's been sort of on-off injured all season. I think that as good as the Zerbi's job was doing, I think that even his hands are tied to a certain degree. It sort of gets to the point now where for Brighton, you sort of feel like, is how sustainable is it selling off your best assets every single season? I think that we do have a good chance of getting something there. I think the way we set up the play will actually benefit us. I think that they'll obviously try to be front foot football. They'll try and attack us, and I think that can help, especially if we can keep defensively solid and sound. They're obviously going to have a big eye on Europe, because I think I haven't actually seen the Premier League top half of the table, because I don't look at it. There's no need to look at it, is there, at this moment in time. But they are, where are they now?
They're ninth.
So they're still only 3 points off seventh, to be fair.
Yeah, so, and only 5 off sixth, to be fair.
Yeah, so you know they're not that far off. Although Chelsea have got a game in hand on them, but they got lesser goal difference, so it wouldn't matter too much. I want to say we'll win. I think we've got a good chance of winning, but I just it's going to be external factors. I think after what I saw yesterday, so like I don't know, did Brighton court favour with the media? Are they still media darlings? Is there still, like, you know, a little agenda with them? I think that Brighton will put too much. I think Roma will have to give them a serious test. Roma have got a very good squad and with very good players, people like Dybala, people like Lukaku. And they will cause, like, Spinazzola is another one they've got at Roma. They will cause them a lot of issues. They'll make them work really, really hard. I was reading, actually, apparently, that Di Rossi, the Roma manager, and De Zerbi are, like, best friends, and their kids are, like, best friends and stuff. So if you're quite an interesting one. Apparently, there was a lunch at the start of the season with Guardiola, De Zerbi, and Di Rossi, you know, talking tactics and stuff. So it should be quite an interesting encounter. But it's going to be incredibly draining for them for two games. And the fact they're in Italy first massively benefits Forest, because obviously they've got to fly back, presumably on the Friday. They won't train that day. Then it's the day before the game. What do? They just have a light, whatever. And then it's obviously Forest. So I think that we can prepare better for it. And I think we can exploit them. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Forest. Oof.
Go on, Rhys.
Yeah, I agree. With all the stuff about Roma, you know, I've got a friend who's a massive Roma fan, so I keep up to date with them, and they're flying at the minute under De Rossi. So, yeah, they won 4-1 against Monza last night, for example. So,
I will say though, that they largely have played, like, I think the Torino and Inter Milan aside, they've largely had fodder, but it builds momentum, though, doesn't it? Confidence,
of course, it does. Yeah, end of the day, you know, it'll be some atmosphere at the Olimpico as well. I know Roma fans proper get behind the team, so it'll be a real test for them. You know, me and my friend have been talking about it, and he's asked me what I think, and I kind of said it's a pick'em, really. Asked for the first leg. So yeah, like Christian said, there'll be the travelling element. You know, they won't get back till the Friday. Also, if they get, you know, a bad loss would be good for us, because they might be very deflated by that. But they're all different factors. We've just got to concentrate on us. You know, we've got a week this week of full training, no game. Gives us the likes of players like Sangare, who was on the bench yesterday, to get more fitter, because we need them type of players back with the money we shelled out. I'm going to sit on the fence and say it will be a draw, and I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, which would be a good point, really. I mean, if we could win, that would be fabulous, because, you know, we all know what the game is after. I think, I don't want to look ahead to that game, but I think that game will show us where we are in terms of resilience, because we're going to be in for a game at Kenilworth Road. You know, whatever people think about Luton, the quality, what they've got in terms of not being the best, they will give us a game, and we have got to be ready to fight there. And that, so we'll see. So hopefully a positive result at Brighton gives us some confidence going into that game, because if we was to win, if say if we was to get 4 points out next two and win at Luton, that would be monumental going into the international break. And then you're coming back to the break where you've got Palace at home and think, yeah, we beat these. Everything sounds so simple, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
And then, yeah, but we'll see. But yeah, obviously focus on the next game, and, you know, I think we can get a result at Brighton, and hope it we can.
Yeah. My thoughts is, Brighton are missing a few key players. You've mentioned Matoma. I think João Pedro is a huge miss for them.
Solly March was missing yesterday. They got thumped yesterday.
Solly March has been missing for a while. He's done his ACL, didn't he?
He's going to be out then.
Yeah, early in the season he did his ACL when he was absolutely flying, to be fair to him. It's an opportunity for us to get at Brighton, especially if they get a bad result in against Roma. Even if they lost like 1-0, where they think, well, actually we can turn it around at the Amex. So they may like take us a little bit lightly. I don't think that's the case. De Zerbi's a serial winner, in my opinion. I think he wants to go for every game. They were very, very off the boil yesterday watching the highlights. They had so many chances against Fulham. They just couldn't. Evan Ferguson couldn't hit a barn door, which is unusual for someone of his calibre, to say how young he is. I think this is a good opportunity for us. I'll be very interested to see how we line up, whether Taiwo gets the nod back to start or Origi it is. I don't like the notion of Origi playing out wide. I wouldn't mind if he's playing out wide and Awuni's through the middle there. Bit of a different combination. And I'll be interested to see the redemption arc start of Ibrahim Sangare. I'm hoping that comes comes through soon. I'd just want some people to eat humble pie if he starts to play well, to be honest. But it's going to be a really interesting game. I think I'm going to lean towards a draw as well with you, Reese, and I think I'm going to go for a Desmond 2-2.
I think just to round off as well, I mean, you've set yourself up, Adam, for Sangai when he drops a stinker, but I think the best comparison would be is to last season where we got Brighton after they'd gone out of the FA Cup on penalties, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Man United.
They looked very deflated and leggy that game, and we managed to beat them. So we played them an ideal time. We think this is an ideal time. So let's see if we can mirror from what we did last season.
I mean, I thought the game earlier in the season at City Ground was an ideal time. They had about a million players injured. Jack Hinshaw would play in bloody left back.
Against ten men again.
And we were
let's hope we beat them, and Forest's admin team on Twitter can put up like a day that we'll never forget, like they did after beating us, which I thought was very strange, seeing it was, you know, we're near the bottom of the league and they want to be in Europe or are in Europe. So, yeah, we'll see come Sunday afternoon.
Definitely. So thank you very much for joining us. We've had about a peak of about 60-ish people. So thank you very much for joining us on a Sunday morning. I know it's a difficult one to get up in the morning after a bitter taste in your mouth after that last yesterday and obviously all the other podcasts that are going out and everything else. So we appreciate your support. We'll see you in midweek for a Brighton preview, hopefully, whether that's with a Brighton fan or with Forest fans joining us. And we'll catch you in the next one. Come on, you Reds.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.